Acts chapter 8 in your Bibles this morning. We see some refugees scattered abroad here because of persecution. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. They were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word today, I ask you to guide me, direct me, help me to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus and to our Father. And through the word, help your people, we pray today. If there's someone lost, we pray for them to be saved and for your people to be strengthened. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. There are four important characters in this drama following Stephen's death. First of all, Saul, the persecutor. Most all of us know that he became the Apostle Paul. But before he was saved, he was a persecutor of the church, making havoc. Chapter 8, verse 1 and verse 3. And then Philip, the preacher. Saul the persecutor and Philip the preacher, verse 5 through 8, he goes down to Samaria. This is the same Philip who was a part of the original men that were chosen out to help with the widows. There were seven men of honest report, full of wisdom, and Philip is one of those men along with Stephen. Then Simon the pretender, a man who, as the Bible calls in the Greek, magio, for we get our English word magician. He was of the black arts. He was probably one who sold spells and drugs and incantations and things of that nature. And he considered himself a great sorcerer or a great magician. And then last of all, we probably won't get to today, is Peter the powerful. So first of all, we look at Saul the persecutor in chapter 8 and verse 1 and 3. Saul became a tool of Satan to make havoc of the church assemblies. The early church is being scattered because of persecution, and they're meeting in homes and in any place that they can get together with a group of believers. And Saul is going around finding these groups of people and putting them into prison with the Jews because of their faith in Christ. The Christians are normally hospitable to people. We welcome visitors into our church. We rejoice to have people come and worship with us. And we rejoice to have people come who might be prospects, who are not yet saved. And we might be able to lead them to Christ. And when lost people get saved as a church, we rejoice to see that happening. And rejoice to new believers being added to the faith. People being baptized and added to the church. These are things that bring joy. These are things that bring rejoicing among the believers. And so we're anxious to welcome people who come to visit us. The early church had many devout Jews who came to the services where these Christians were preaching, and the word spread rapidly because of the miracles that were taking place. And some of those got saved. Some of them did not, because they counted the cost. To believe on Christ would introduce persecution to them. It would possibly ostracize them from their family who had not yet believed on Jesus Christ. And we've heard of people, one of our fellows we support with Jewish missions, Al Reichman, when he got saved, his mother told him, "Do not tell your father." They were divorced, and this allowed him to go to a Baptist youth group, and he got saved, and his sister got saved, and she said, "Do not tell your father." And when Al was going over to Israel, he asked his uncle where his father was buried there. because he liked to visit the cemetery and see where his father was buried. He said, your father wouldn't want you to know where he was buried. Still had that animosity as Jews against those who had believed on Christ and been saved. And that's not an uncommon thing to happen. I had a friend in Bible college who was a young single guy living in the dormitories by himself from Cincinnati, Ohio. He got saved through a youth group. His parents were devout Catholics. Because he got baptized and became a Baptist, they basically treated him as if he had died. They would have nothing to do with him. They wouldn't help him with his school bill. They wouldn't pay for him to go to college or anything like that. But if he would come back and go through the Catholic Church and go to Notre Dame or somewhere, they would have paid for his college education. They wouldn't even write him a letter. They wouldn't respond when he wrote letters to his mom and dad. How terrible and how you know, deep religion is in people that they would feel this way toward others. The early church, Saul would easily be accepted into their services. If he came as a visitor, they would receive him. They'd invite him in without knowing what he was there for. His goal for being there was to make havoc of the church, to arrest the leaders, to stomp out Christianity. And he had the full authority from the Sanhedrin and the high priest and the council. He had letters of authority. Now, we don't often know people's motives when they come to church. Most people come for the right reasons. They come to worship God. Most of our members come to serve the Lord here, to be encouraged and fed and edified by the Word of God, and to fill a place of service in some way for the Lord. But even good people can be tools of Satan, like Peter, who is the one who declared that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But then when he got in the flesh and told Jesus, we're not going to let you be crucified, Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. For at that moment, Peter was in the flesh wanting the human experience of not losing the Lord, but he didn't realize he was trying to keep him from providing redemption for all men. That was satanic to try to do that. And so Peter was a tool of Satan at that moment when he spoke those words. And Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, was making havoc of the church. Some people in this day and time move to a new area and they go to church because they're looking for business contacts and opportunities. Sometimes folks go to church looking for a good-looking girl, you know. That's why I used to go to church when I was a teenager. I went to the Methodist church because there was a whole bunch of good-looking girls I went to school with that went to church there. And so I went there. And some go for opportunities to show off something, new car, new clothes, or whatever. Some people go because they like music. I remember years ago hearing of Mr. Green, who was the original owner of the Rock Hill Concrete Company. He was Jewish. But he would visit churches around the Rock Hill area because he liked to hear choir sing. He liked to hear Christian music. And, of course, a lot of Christian music from the hymns is just from the Bible, and it even from Old Testament theology. And so he enjoyed hearing singing, and he'd go sit in on the churches because of that. I read about a riverboat captain that wanted to hear Ira Sankey sing. And his statement was, I guess I can put up listening to Moody preach to get to hear Ira Sankey sing. And so he went to the service, and then after the service he came back to talk to them, and he got saved as a result of that. You know, sometimes people don't always come for the right reason. We invite people to come for dinner on the grounds and homecoming, and they might be coming for the fried chicken and a potato salad, but we're going to get them under the sound of the gospel, and they might get saved. Praise God if they do. But Saul's motivation was different. Saul didn't come for the sports program. He didn't come for the music. He didn't come for the preaching. He came so he could bust up the congregation and put some people in jail. He had an evil intent to cause havoc among the Christians. His persecution caused many to fear. And people would fear going to the assembly. They would fear being arrested. They would have to go underground, as the churches did after communism took over many countries. There was a strong, growing, viable church movement in China before communism took over in World War II. And the church had to go underground. They were not allowed to assemble, not allowed to meet, not allowed to have church. And so they went underground. And some still survive today. And some, many are spreading the gospel today through internet and through you know, all kinds of media and through smuggling Bibles in and through the churches that are there that are underground spreading the tracts and the Bible. There are people being saved. They're holding services. And occasionally, you know, we hear of them being persecuted, trying to close down a church or something of that nature. In Cuba, after Castro took over, he didn't close the Baptist churches. But they couldn't build any buildings. They couldn't buy any literature. They couldn't train any preachers or anything of that nature. And so as all those years passed by, once Cuba began to open up just a little bit and allow visitors back, many people found that the Baptist churches there had become filled with false doctrine because they lacked having any trained pastors and they lacked being able to buy Bibles and any literature and those kind of problems. Basically, they just closed the churches down but allowed them to keep having service. And the same was true in Russia. The same was true with the Jews as they went underground when men like Saul and the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, if you look at chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, you see where he had authority from the high priest to do what he was doing. But now there's a silver lining to the problem. And the silver lining of this dark cloud is found in Acts chapter 8, verse 3 and 4, that the persecution of the believers scattered them abroad like seed being blown from a tree or a plant that plants itself in other places. They went other places because of persecution, but they had the gospel knowledge. They took that with them wherever they went. And they shared the gospel with whole new groups of people. Now many of these had been in Jerusalem for Pentecost and had stayed with the early church at Jerusalem because of the multitude of people being saved and baptized and the gospel being spread. Now they were caring for the widows and setting up church and they were staying there. But you remember back in chapter 2 of Acts in verse 9, the Bible says they were from 15 different nationalities, nations where they came from. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and from Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Cyrene. And now all of these Jews who came from those home places are going back home. Some of them had homes to go to. Some of them had families they could reunite with to flee this persecution that was taking place. And they took the gospel with them. They were preaching the word everywhere they went. They didn't have newspapers back in those days. They may have a town crier. They may have had a post who was what we get our postman from, would go and post something in the square of the city for people to read. But what happened was news would spread by the grapevine, by word of mouth. As these believers came into a port and they would tell people about what had happened and they believed on Christ and they saw Jesus risen from the dead and these kind of things. And boy, these ports were places where multitudes came through. The message began to spread because of that. And they'd go to a new city, and they'd go to their home place, and their family members would believe and be saved, and as a result of it, churches began to spring up. Mary, who is the sister of Barnabas, who is the mother of John Mark, who wrote the gospel, no matter what Jerry Boyce said. In Acts 12:12, the Bible makes that pretty clear, that they had a church in their house. This is where they gathered together to pray for Peter when he was put in prison. Aquila and Priscilla had a church in their home. And these were a couple who were of the same craft as the Apostle Paul, tent makers. And they had met him in the marketplace. And the Bible says they risked their necks for Paul. They saved his life. They put out an effort to risk their own lives to save Paul after he became a Christian. And they had a church in their home. Right now, Saul is going to places like that and causing havoc among their services. Secondly, we see Philip the preacher. Saul the persecutor and Philip the preacher, Acts 8:5. He is one of the seven who was chosen in Acts chapter 6, men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, chosen to serve the daily needs of the Greek widows. By Greek, I mean they were Greek-speaking and Greek culture. They were not of the strict Orthodox Jewish philosophy that the Pharisees and those kind of folks were. And their widows had needs, and so they selected out these men to minister to them, and Philip was one. Now they're scattered to Samaria in persecution, and Philip goes down to Samaria. And he has apostolic power. He not only preaches the Word of God with the power of God, but miracles and signs take place where God is validating these apostles, this early church movement. God is showing by these miracles and signs that these men speak for God, that these men have the power of God, and that this is the message of God that is being brought to them. And the power of God is overcoming satanic influence in this area. This one man, Simon, the sorcerer, who is using his voodoo and black magic and demonic forces. Many in this area are possessed of demons, the Bible says. And through the preaching of the Word of God, they're delivered, and the demons come out of them. You imagine the changed character of people who get saved, who've had that kind of lifestyle prior to that, and now people can see the difference in their life when they receive Christ as their Savior. Also, many being healed of palsies. This word in the Greek comes from the word we get paralyzed from. And it probably, everybody who'd suffered strokes and crippling arthritis and all of those kind of problems where they were crippled in any way, they were getting healed of these diseases. And it was obvious to people when a man is crippled one day and the next day he can walk without a problem. And as the fellow down there at the temple, when Peter and John came and healed him, you know, the Bible says he was running and leaping and praising God. You're crippled, my friend, and you get healed, I bet you leap and praise God too. I guarantee you if my knees got healed, I'd praise God. I'd run and jump. I don't run and jump now, but I would if I got my knees healed, praise God. And there's joy in this city as a result of this. People are being saved. Have you lost the joy of salvation? Have you hung your harp up in the willows like the Jews did when they were in a foreign land? They wouldn't sing the songs of Zion because they were in a captive land and in a captive situation. Has the devil got you discouraged? Has sin got you down? Has the troubles of life been so heavy upon you that you've lost the joy of your salvation? David said when he sinned with Bathsheba in the psalm, he said, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." You can lose your joy. This city was filled with joy, the Bible says. Why? Because people were getting saved. Because people were getting healed. People were getting delivered from demonic forces. God was meeting with these people and it brought joy. And it ought to bring joy to us when we meet with God. When we pray, when we read the Word, and when we come to church, we should be rejoicing and have joy. But if we aren't careful, we'll feed off complaining and murmuring and sympathy from other people. I want you to look up here at these eyes. There ain't no sympathy in here for people that are not here today because they made a choice to stay home because their ankle hurts or their rear hurts or their... You know, if you got something contagious and you're going to breathe on everybody, stay home. If you got that problem with your stomach, you can't stay out of the bathroom, then stay home. But I don't want to hear excuses about I had a headache, I hurt my... Friends, I worked my bus route with a cast to my hip, with crutches, with blood pouring out of the end of the cast. And I would miss a church service. They had to prop me up in a pillow, I couldn't bend my leg. You know, it was all one piece from the hip to the ankle. So I don't have a lot of sympathy on all the complaints and problems and moaning and groaning and aches and pains that people have today that they miss church over.
I mean, if you're dead, you have my permission to be out of church that Sunday. But if you get resurrected, you'll have the joy of the Lord and you'll come back. What am I saying? I'm saying, friends, we've lost our joy. We've let it slip away. We're not a rejoicing people. We're not a thankful people. We're not focusing on the grace of God that we're saved, that we have a home in heaven, that we have a message of the good news of the gospel to share with other people. And we get our focus off those things, and we get our focus on the troubles and the trials and the problems of life. Listen, everybody's got that. They may not have it right this minute, but they've got it, or they're going to have it, or they've already had it and been through it. I mentioned something the other day about somebody that, two people I know, my sister and Nancy, and my friend Dave Ritchie, both burned a hole in their stomach, my sister, her intestines, from taking pain medicine when they had knee problems so bad they had to have knee joint operations. And while they were waiting to have them, they were taking that strong aspirin-based medicine. And Dave Ritchie almost bled to death when he burned a hole through his stomach. And my sister had both her knees replaced at the same time and burned a hole through intestines while she was in the hospital. She had to go have a bag put on, you know, and a colostomy done and all that. And I mentioned that, and Dick said, you know, same thing happened to me. Well, Sue said, I believe, first. And then Dick explained that he had a burned hole through his stomach and had to go to the hospital and almost bled to death. You know, a lot of people have had a lot of problems. We start thinking, I'm the only person in the world that has all these problems. You know, why me, Lord? I've lost this, I've lost that, I got problems, I got... Everybody's got problems and troubles. If you're a human being, you can get sick. Doesn't mean God's mad at you. If you're a human being, you can have aches and pains. And you know what I tell people a lot of times? If I'd known I was going to live this long, I would have took better care of myself. I didn't take good care of myself coming along. I have abused my body. I ran over myself with a tractor one time. I got off the tractor, the gear shift was in the middle, I knocked it into neutral, and when I jumped off the tractor, my knee hit it and knocked it in gear. And it caught my heel and tripped me and ran up my leg, and I put my hands on the cleats of that tire and shoved with all I had, and I guarantee you, I was praying, and that tractor choked down, stopped right there sitting on top of it, and all it did was break my foot. I've been cut, I've been shot, I've been broke up, I wrecked motorcycle 6 times. That last time y'all know about, with the shoulder bone stuck out in my back and 3 ribs broke in 2 places, my shoulder bone and my shoulder blade and my collarbone cracked. I've been through a lot of pain, friends. And you know what I figured out? The best thing I can do is take as least amount of medication for it as possible and just keep going. Just get up every day and keep going to the best of my ability. I'm not mad at you. I'm not trying to hold you accountable to anything. What I'm saying is we've lost our joy and rejoicing and our focus on what we have in Jesus Christ. And the world doesn't need to hear us complain. They need to hear us tell them about how wonderful it is to be saved and to have your sins forgiven and to have a home in heaven. And share that message with them too. Great joy in the city. Good things often result out of harsh trials and hard times. Makes people take sides. Stand up for God when they hadn't been standing up when trials come along. Paul and Peter got put in prison. They would be chained between soldiers. And you know what that did for them? It gave them a captive audience of people to share the gospel with. You remember the jailer at Philippi? When God sent an earthquake and broke the jail down and they didn't run off and escape, and he came, fell down before them trembling and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And he believed and took them home to his house and his whole family got saved. And he nursed their wounds as a result of it. Aquila and Priscilla, tent makers, met Paul and risked their lives to help him. Now they have a church in their home. Philip had great results, and he baptized both men and women who became believers in Christ. So we see Saul the persecutor, and we see Philip the preacher. Now we see Simon the pretender. He had pretended he was a great sorcerer. Verse 9, there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. He was a pretender that he was a great power and that he bewitched these people to gain a following of the people, to gain money from the people. He probably sold them spells and bewitchings and incantations. And the word pharmacy comes from witchcraft. The use of drugs in witchcraft in the Bible is pharmakeia, and that's where our word pharmacy comes from. Simon was a sorcerer, no doubt using all these things. Verse 13 says, he believes and is baptized also. Sometimes people who are saved can get out of balance and focus on the wrong things. Simon wasn't focusing on his sins being forgiven and sharing the message with somebody else. He was focusing on seeing how people were having these miracles take place. He wanted that same power. He wanted the apostolic power that he could lay hands on somebody and they'd be healed, because he had wanted to have a following previously among the people, and it looks like that's the same attitude that he has with Christianity. He has a wrong priority. Many people follow preachers today looking for miracles to take place, and they travel all over the country following these TV preachers, and they fail to just go get involved in a church and serve the Lord and be faithful to God. I had a fellow in the hospital with me one time. I was having some colon problems, and I had to stay in the VA hospital for 4 days, and there was a fellow in the room with me. And he was a comical little old guy. He talked like that. And he'd say, I like Ernest Ainsley. You like Ernest Ainsley? I said, no, I don't care for Ernest Ainsley. He'd say, me and my wife do, but we like them healings. He said, we go get them good healings. We go all over the place. You know, we travel all over the country, hear Ernest Ainsley preach, and get up there in the line, and he hit us in the head, and we fall down. I said, boy, we feel good. I said, have you been lately? He said, yeah, we just went right before I come to the hospital. I said, did you get healed? And he said, yeah. I said, well, why are you in the hospital? Well, you don't get healed of everything. Oh, I see, God wasn't strong enough to heal you of whatever you got wrong with you, but He healed you of something else. And he was a sneaky little old fella. He'd go around and get everybody's milk they didn't drink and the bread they didn't eat. He had Crohn's disease. And he'd eat all night long. He'd sound like a rat over tearing stuff open and eating all night long over in his bed, you know. He was a strange little old guy. I said, why don't you go to one church in your town and get involved in that? If you're saved and you love the Lord, why don't you go there and support a local church and get involved in it? Somewhere, I don't think you can get somebody to get in the car with you and drive 12 hours to go hear Ernest Haynes to preach. But you could take an unsaved person to a local church and they might get saved. And that's really where you ought to be involved. But that wasn't what he wanted. He liked the excitement of the Ernest Ainsley Crusades. And that's what he followed. And a lot of people get focused on the wrong thing. Some people like to hear preachers that really romp and stomp and pound the pulpit and preach against sin, as long as it's not their sin. I had a fellow one time, if I said something about homosexuals and adultery, amen, preacher, that's preaching, that's right. Bless God, amen. But if I preached on sins of the Spirit, with our attitude and our failure to do everything we ought to do for God, he'd get mad as bow up back there, you know, just look at me while I was preaching. Mad, you know. Why? Because I was stepping on his toes then. He didn't like that. He liked it as long as I was preaching on somebody else. But you got it. Now, I think he was a good man, but I think he just had his focus a little wrong. He's focusing on the wrong things. And Simon was focusing on the wrong things, and he went to Peter, and he tried to buy the power of God to do miracles. Verse 18, when Simon saw that through laying on the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto them, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So the dark clouds of persecution brought opportunity for the spread of the gospel. I'm praying all these Syrians fleeing Syria will go places they'll have an opportunity to hear the gospel where they haven't had opportunity to hear it before. And that God will use the persecution they're experiencing to bring them to Christ, that they might be saved. This is true in Egypt. This is true in a number of countries where there's turmoil going on today. In Iraq, in Iran. Iran is still totally controlled in a closed country. But many people who are Persian of Iran are leaving Iran, and they are getting saved by the multitudes in Greece and some other countries where Christian churches receive them in as refugees and feed them and give them the gospel and give them a Bible. And we have sent money to buy songbooks and Bibles for the church in Greece that is ministering to these people through the missionaries, the Lyles, that we support. And it's still taking place today. Persecution is a hard thing for people to have to leave their home and go off somewhere not knowing how they're going to live. But the good thing to that is they might hear the gospel and be saved as a result. Let's stand together, please. Thank you, Father, for the Word of God. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people. Thank you that our church gathers for the right reasons and the right motives, to worship you, to grow through your Word, to find a place of service for the Lord. Help us to invite others. Help us to be people that focus on the right things, that we rejoice in the Lord for what we have, and we share the good news with others who need to hear. Lord, we ask for your help in this invitation, that we would let the Holy Spirit deal with our hearts and make decisions before we leave this place today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.